So Ceci, I don't think you need an introduction. Over to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Wendy. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Sean. That's a lot of information, a lot to take in. Thank you for sharing the material. I'm sure most of us will surely jump into it after work or sometime over the weekend so as to take even more wisdom out of it. And thank you for sharing all those very useful links, which we can lead us to further investigation. Thank you very much. Woo! Now, I have to do this movement from, you know, thinking of trauma about myself and my past experiences into thinking of trauma as a facilitator. It is quite a shift. So I would like to take a moment. Thank you, Wendy, for all the movement, because it really hit me. And just check within yourselves, because although this is a facilitators forum and all this information is going to enhance our work when we work with groups and others, it is so important to just check within ourselves. How is this information moving myself within my own experience? And is it possible for me now to shift into the facilitator mode? Just check within yourself. Give yourself a moment. Say, is it okay for me now if I shift and start thinking as a facilitator? Because now it is, I am going to be the calm and safe person who is going to try to lead others and invite others into that same mode. So just check, because it has really hit me. I have to say that this has really moved me. So maybe it has happened to you as well. Just check for a moment. Okay. So picking up from what Sean has shared with us, I would like to share with all of you some precautions, activities, ideas, techniques that you might find useful when preparing for a course. And also, if it has happened to you or it happens to you that while running a course, a talk, a forum, one of the participants feel triggered and maybe feel deregulated from his or her emotional, social, or behavioral life, okay, attitude. So just have these as ideas, suggestions, and I would like you to try them out and see if they work for you. Many of these have been taken also from David Trilvan course on mindfulness also. The idea is that little by little, we can become trauma-informed facilitators, but also trauma-responsive facilitators. We do not only know what it is about, but we start having a set of tools to work with it beforehand, so as to prepare the set, the atmosphere, the best as we can, because as Sean said, there is never 100%, sure that this is not going to happen, but at least having some tools to work with it beforehand and in the case it happens. And moreover, nowadays, when most of the courses and the forums and the talks have moved online, which in my personal experience, we lose many information, from participants, because many times we don't have they don't have their cameras on, they decide not to have them, or we cannot fully see their body language, or maybe there are too many on the screen just being spot to each of them. So it has become, at least in my experience, a double challenge. So here we go. I tried to make it as simple as possible. So think of it, think of your responsiveness to trauma as building a safety net before, during, and after the course, the talk, the forum that you're going to facilitate. You're going to be the safety net, and you're going to also create a safety net. And in order to do this, think of three moments as a three-leg table that has worked for me. You check it for yourself. Number one, anticipation. Anticipation. So as much as you can do before, so so as to prepare people from the, for the course and to prepare yourself to receive that group, it's going to be the better. So try to know your participants as much as you can. I know this is not always possible. Many times, as it is now, I see many familiar faces here, and I might know something about you. Of course, you will never be your whole self, but I might know something about you. But many times we just, you know, put on the cameras and the course starts and all the group is new to us. So try to beforehand get to know your participants by asking them not only their personal information when they write them down for the course, but you might want to ask them, is there anything about you that you would like to share with us? Is there any way in which we can help you feel more comfortable during the course? Is any, I don't know, any specific moment or activity that you prefer not to take part in? We may ask questions. And as Sean said, we're also empowering participants to be, you know, responsible for their own learning and their own well-being instead of thinking of them and assuming them as passive subjects. Now we're going to record this session. Without asking? No, as we did at the beginning, we may ask you, is it okay for you if we do it? And if we do it, we are going to do it in such, such and such way. So you can give your consent. Is it okay for you to continue like this? So anticipation, by explaining participants the activities, as also Shan says, not just jumping, saying, now we're going into breakout rooms, goodbye. And people say, okay, what is it that am I supposed to do? It has happened to us as participants sometimes that we are in a situation, you know, and then we suddenly ask, or somebody in the group asks, what are we supposed to do? No, because for us facilitators, the techniques, the activities are so familiar to us, so common. We've done them hundreds of times. But for participants, it might be their first time. It might be their first time. So take your time to explain, maybe to model, to anticipate how long they are going to be, to anticipate who is going to be with them. So try to anticipate. In also this way, as Sean said, remember that people with post-traumas are going to be in survival mode. So they are going to apparently detect threats everywhere. So we are going to try to diminish that feeling of feeling threatened if we give them enough information. So beforehand, state what kind of activity it is, how long it is going to be, who is going to be in the group if possible, and also give them a getaway. If you're not feeling okay, then you may want to, and give them a choice. Right? If you don't want to go into breakup groups, because maybe whatever, why, no matter what it, you don't feel comfortable with, you may stay in the main room. I'm going to be here. You might find me here. Okay? So give them a getaway. Take them out from that feeling of helplessness. Many traumatic experiences leave people with this feeling of, I don't have a word, I don't have a say in this. It has happened against my will, and there was nothing much I could do about it. So now we have to think as opposite to that, right? Now here you have a saying. And as a facilitator, many times, this is more of a personal confession, we like to have everything under control. We have our planning, you know, minute to minute after minute, what is supposed to be happening with the group. And we have to start being okay when with things going some other way or with people choosing some other things. For example, now I am so delighted that most of you have decided and are able to leave your cameras on, because it gives me a lot of information. It allows me to feel that we are all in this together. But what if suddenly you would all decide to turn your cameras off? That would be a triggering for me. As a facilitator, we need to start being okay with people's choices. So as Sean said, if one of them decides to sit at the back of the room, if one of them decides, I don't know, if you offer cushions and one person decides to grab a chair. If they decide, I don't want to participate in this breakup room, or I really don't feel like doing this or sharing this, we also have to check within ourselves, how is it for us, that experience of opening the game and not having everything under control, right? This is just homework we have to do also as facilitators. So the first part of this safety net, anticipation. The second part, for me, it's a very important word, and I usually explain it as inviting, being inviting. As Wendy said at the beginning, I invite you to take a comfortable position. Instead of just saying, please take a comfortable position, it changes. It is different. It feels different. Because in participants' minds, there is one point in which if you're being asked, you can check within yourself, is this okay for me? And if you decide it is, and then you go with it, people will be more willing to participate, to involve with it, to go deeper into an exploration, in some of the activities that we offer them. So try to use this open vocabulary. I invite you. So meaning that it is your option and you can decide to say, no, thank you. And it will be all right. So try to use those are opportunities in which we invite people to go into breakout rooms. We invite them to share their insights. Be inviting, okay? And also use these such words as exploration. We are going to play a game. We are going to experiment or investigate, meaning that there is no right or wrong answer and nothing is expected from you that has to be a certain way. The invitation of having a more open space for different answers to come up. So you are going also to be inclusive with different people's reactions and the emotional worlds that will for sure arise, especially in the courses that here we FDCW, we generally offer. We have to be very aware that we are tapping into people's emotional worlds and we are asking and inviting them to go there and explore past situations that might be difficult, might be triggering, or at least might be, you know, those situations or those activities that might arise questions. Maybe it doesn't arise a past trauma, but maybe you start questioning things that you didn't up to that point. It happened to me when I took the 16 guidelines for the first time. It was a wonderful experience, but also at some point, it was an experience that led me thinking for months afterwards, which is okay, and that is wonderful in a sense, but might be difficult for some people. So these type of wording, it doesn't also only work for trauma, but also for anxiety, for example, okay? So we can help participants, you know, lower their levels of anxiety. So anticipation, invitation, and number three, options. And here I'm being a bit repetitive from what Shan presented. I would like to give you a couple of ideas, just ideas. Provide options, and Shan said, not too many, but at least things don't have to be this way, at least two. So if you feel comfortable with, we would like to go into breakout rooms, or we would like to invite you to go into breakout rooms. If you don't, for any reason, you may stay, for example, in the main room with a facilitator. Or when you are having an activity, you can tell people that they may opt out, okay? Let them know that it is okay for you. And by saying this, you are stating that in this group, we are working like this. It is okay if at any point you decide to step back from the activity, take a break, take a pause, go get some water, etc. Especially when we work in virtual environments, it is very important to suggest people what they might want to do. So if you don't feel comfortable about this, you may turn your camera off for a couple of minutes, get yourself a glass of water, and go to the other room. And in a couple of minutes, if you feel so, you are more than welcome to come back. So word it, say it, state it very clearly, because it will also set the tone for the rest of the group. It will set the tone for a respectful environment. So nobody is going to question your decision. So I think it is very important to, you know, say that out loud. Sometimes we make assumptions that, oh, people would know what to do. But when you feel dysregulated, you cannot think clearly. So it is important to have that stated beforehand. I have found that it is also important to check during the activities. So check in with people. For example, in some of the exercises, we ask them to find a past experience and to go into that experience in detail. You know, the activity I'm talking about, many mind and heart reflections go in this direction. Within that activity, of course, if it would be a face-to-face course, we might have more clues from body language. But as we are in a virtual environment, it is important also to check during the course. So you might want to say something as if anybody is not feeling comfortable, you may raise your hand. I will come to you and offer you with an option. So within the activity, because it might take 6, 7, or 8 minutes. And you know that when you are triggered, 60 seconds might feel as an eternity, okay? So half the way during the activity, you might want to check in with the group. If they are with their eyes closed, ask them to raise their hand and tell them what it is going to happen. Just don't say, if you're not feeling comfortable with this, raise your hand. Raise your hand and what is it going to happen to me? If I say it out loud, that can be also threatening. That can feel threatening. So add, what is it going to happen? Okay, so if you are not feeling comfortable, you may want to raise your hand and I will approach you with an option, with an alternative. Okay, so tell them what is it that it is going to happen. Okay, another thing that I wanted to check with you is, as much as possible, check for body language. I know that when we work virtually, it is more difficult, but at least be aware of your own body language and what is seen from you in the camera. So, for example, at this point, if you can only see me like this, from my neck up, there is a lot of information that you will be missing. But if I can adjust the camera and include my arms and gestures, it will make you feel more at ease. Now you have more information, okay? So in the same way, if it is possible for you, check for the information that participants are giving to you, okay? So we said anticipation, inviting or invitations, and also choices. Okay, it is very important to get people to choose so they can little by little feel more empowered to leave this place of being a passive subject, even a passive participant, and more of a responsible for their learning, for their triggerings, for their feelings, right? And one last thing, ask questions. Instead of having assumptions of what this person might need. So as Sean said, is it okay if I put my hand in your back? Is it okay if we hold hands? But also, what do you need? What can I do for you right now? Instead of grabbing a glass of water. Here, have some water. Ask questions. If the triggering is at a mild, stage in which people can be responsive to your questions. If not, and this has also happened to me once many, many years ago in a face-to-face course, about 7 or 8 years ago, After a heart and mind reflection, one participant completely deregulated and started crying very much. And well, she couldn't answer these type of questions. So if something like that might happen to you at some point, and if you are in a face-to-face situation, first of all, please make sure that this person's physical safety is covered, right? You might want to invite this person to go to the floor, for example. You might want to take any, you know, dangerous objects from this person's reach. You might want to make sure that this person is in a safety environment. If you are in a virtual environment, the first thing you need to think of before going into a course is who is going to be your buddy. So if you're working with a tech person as Angela or Michaela, you might want to beforehand say, okay, if anything like this happens, I will stay with the main group. You can go into a breakout room with this person or vice versa. Okay. And of course, know how to work with, in this case, the platform Zoom, go into a breakout room in case you are alone, for example. Okay. If you don't happen to have a tech person, you might want to check with the person who organized the course or one of the participants that you might know a bit better. And maybe beforehand, you can say, okay, if this happens or if something like this happens and I need to go to a separate room with one of the participants, can you please stay in the main room? Can you please ask everybody to have a 10-minute break? Okay, so think beforehand, plan B in case something like this happens. So you, even in that stressful situation, you remain calm and resourceful and you know what to do because people will be looking up to you. Say, okay, Ceci, what now? All right, so you avoid improvising. Sorry to say that you might have to improvise at some point, but if you do have, you know, some tools or tricks beforehand, you will diminish the possibilities of that happening. So I don't know how far we are with the time. I completely got caught in all these thoughts that I want to share with you. Sorry.
It's okay, Ceci. It's wind up time now, if that's okay.
Okay. So thank you very much. And I'm, of course, open to any question that you might have.
Yeah, thank you. So any questions for Ceci? Well, if there is none, you could carry on for a couple of minutes, Ceci, if you have any points.
It is important to, as Sean said, not only the what, but the how. We are all in this together. And of course that in case you are facilitating a course, your role, you have a special role and people will be expecting things from you. But you are also part of the environment and the emotional atmosphere that is going on in that course. So you might want to include yourself when talking instead of this has happened to you. Maybe we can say we have all had been these kind of experiences perhaps. So whenever you can, include yourself. So people start feeling more connected to the facilitator instead of you over there, me over here, I have more experience. So try to include yourself as much as possible. And also, if it's possible for you, and this is just a suggestion that has worked very well for me, offer a private wave of reaching you. Maybe it's by offering an email address in which people can contact you after the course or between sessions if you happen to run a course that is divided into sessions. Or say, okay, after the session, I can stay for 15 minutes in case anybody wants to talk to me privately, okay? Just try to include, or if it is a face-to-face presentation, maybe you can say, during the break, if anybody wants to reach me, I will be available. So try to offer a private way in which to connect. Because we all know the feeling of shame. Sometimes it's not that easy to raise your hand and share with 15 people in the room a personal experience. But you still have a question or a need. open up about it. So try, of course, if it is possible, it's not always possible in very big courses, it might be a bit more difficult, but whenever it is possible, try to open a private way in which people can reach you, okay? Because learning from each other is wonderful, but it is not always possible, at least not at the beginning, with these, you know, feelings of shame, or I don't know if this applies to these, or being doubtful about the experience, or you don't know if, you know, if it is correct to share it with all other participants. So that has worked also well in the past for me. And I think it allows participants to feel more at ease. And again, with more options, and they can ask themselves, do I want to share this with the whole group? Do I prefer to ask later or to share it later privately? So that's another tool that I have been using lately. And for me, it has been working pretty well. I shut up, no more. I can go on talking for long, so.
Ceci, thank you so very, very, very much for all this really practical, useful advice. So thank you. And I invite us now to go into breakout groups of threes for 15 minutes. If you prefer not to, then just please choose to stay in the main room or to opt out for 15 minutes, you know, go and get a drink. You can see I'm modeling Ceci's advice. So if you do go into breakout groups, please identify a note taker to feedback three main points. And we invite you to discuss two questions. These will be posted in the broadcast, but first question, how does what you've heard apply to you? So both from Sean, from Ceci, how does what you've heard apply to you? Second question, what do you need to do or find out or work on as a result of what you've heard? What do you need to do or find out or work on as a result of what you've heard? Any questions about breakout groups? Michaela's posted those in chat. Thank you. And no questions. Thank you so much. See you in 15 minutes or so. Unless Wendy, you want to stay in the main room. Rachel, yeah?
Wendy, it's Sean here. It's okay. I'm just thinking we're particularly asking those questions more in their facilitation roles. We're not asking it as a personal question, because I realize the personal and your role here are probably coming together in some cases. So we're primarily here at the moment focusing on what those questions in terms of their roles as facilitators or whatever other role you're holding.
That's a really good point. Thank you so much, Sean. Yes. Any other points? Rachel?
Yes, Wendy, I heard you say there were three questions, but I only heard two questions.
Maybe I said three, but I should have said two. But
it's okay.
That's fine. Thank you so much. Okay. Thank you so much. See you in 15 minutes.